We continue our journey. We have been talking about the season of sons. God told us at the beginning of this year from Romans chapter 8 verse 19 that among his agenda for 2025 is that he wants manifestations of sons. One of the challenges of the Christian faith is that the silent majority are being overrun by the loud minority. The Christian faith is not necessarily suffering from lack of people that believe in Jesus. It's just that more people that believe in Jesus don't exhibit Jesus. More people that believe in Jesus do not show Jesus. The reason why sometimes it feels like Jesus could not be understood. Some of us, we might have had some of those kind of frustration. When you are typing in your phone and then the J in Jesus sometimes is not capitalized. You are angry. You know, I think most phones now capitalize it. But back in the day, they will not capitalize it. The G in God will not be capitalized. And you are like, why will you be capitalizing a very common name, and you can't capitalize God, you can't capitalize Jesus and all of that kind of thing. I mean, the first letter of the name is being capitalized. The reason is because there's fewer and fewer manifestations. And I believe that through this teaching and more, God will make more manifestations of sons in the name of Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's take it from verse 30, maybe stop at 34. 1 Samuel 2, let's stop at 33 because of time. All right. It says, therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said in thee, indeed, that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. 31, behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Verse 32, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. You know, when you read scriptures like this, they are very hard to even pronounce. Not to talk of imagining it. And to now think that this person was someone that had a relationship, that had a business with God, that had a position with God, that had a posture with God. This guy and God were in a business deal, if you will use that word. He was representing God, and God was showing up on his behalf too. And how did that their relationship get to this point that God is now saying, excuse me, I want to go back on that which I said. You remember that God is not a man that he should lie. That is what Balaam told us in Numbers 23. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. That's what repent means. It's not the son of man that should change his mind. He's not going to go back on what he has said. But God, who is not a man that will not lie, God who will not go back on what he has said, is now going back on what he has said. Why will God do that? He said, those that honor me, I will honor. The question I want to answer this morning is, I have a little more short time to do that, is where is the honor of God? That's the question I want to answer. And the reason I want to answer that question is because of what Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says. Let's go there. If you want to title what I'm talking about this morning, you can call it heavy living. Heavy living. How do I live heavily? How do I live in such a way that there is weight on my life? That my life is not paperweight. That my life is a heavyweight life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what redemption purchased for you was heavy life. When you read in John chapter 10, verse 10, when the Bible said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and give you life, and give you life abundantly. You see, that life he was talking about is a heavyweight life. It's life on the caliber of God. It's not even the life that Adam lost. Adam didn't have this kind of dimension of life that we are talking about. Because this came from the second Adam. This came from Jesus. This life is a more higher quality life than the life that Adam had. And so, if you have this kind of life, God is expecting that you graduate to, let this life to find expression more and more. And one of the ways it will find expression, if it's you and I, will stand in our position as sons. And when you stand in your position as sons, I've run through some things that a son will stand in. We run through the fact that a son is someone that the father will say, I'm well pleased with. And this morning, I want to say, a son is who honors the father. In verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1, the Bible says, a son honoreth his father. A son honoreth his father. A servant is master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? God was asking those guys. And this was the last few words God said before there was a very long silence. So that means that if you don't answer this question well, it can create some silence. It can create some gaps. Because after these statements in Malachi, there was prophetic silence for about 400 years. Why? His son honored his father. And God said, where is my honor? He says, if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. See that word again? That's what Eli did. He said, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what have we despised your name? This morning I'm asking, where is the honor of God? Where is the honor of God? Sons should know how to honor their father. One of the greatest posture you can have towards God is that of honor. One of the greatest posture you can have towards God is that of honor. When you honor God, it is better than many, many sacrifices. When you honor God, it is better than you almost seemingly killing yourself. There are some times when people are fasting, if they had honored God, they will save themselves from that fasting. There are many prayers that many people have gotten into, and some of those prayers are ineffective because they have left this matter of honor, they have left it aside. And God is saying this morning, if I am a father, where is my honor? Or if you are a son, where is the son's honor? Where is the honor that you should give the father? This is a generation, this is a time and a season where dishonor is the order of the day. Where it is so easy for people to say things, it is so easy for people to act in a way that does not communicate honor. They do it to people, and sadly enough, they do it to God. I mean, once you do it to people, you have somewhat done it to God. And so this morning, God is saying, where's my honor? Victory House, where's my honor? You, this my young man, where's my honor? You, this my young woman, where's my honor? And some of you are saying, like they are saying, why do you say, where's your honor? Why do you say we have despised you? How did we despise you? I'm going to walk you through it in a few minutes. But this morning, the question to be answered is, where's the honor of God? To honor is to respect. To honor is to respect. To honor is to place value on. When you honor God, there is a value that you have placed on God. In fact, the word honor, the root words in Greek and in Hebrew, signify is kind of the word that eventually we use for, in some places they call it glory. In some other places they even call it holy. Sometimes the word honor, especially in the root languages, is harder to give a name to. You just kind of describe it. It's like weight. It's like putting a lot of weight. So, for example, in the days, the word that they use for honor is the same word they use for some of the money in those days. And the way they measured the money was the weight, the heaviness of the money. So, if something is costly, it will be very heavy. So, it will take a lot of people to carry it. So, that is why, for example, the cart the ark of God, God will want them to carry it on the shoulders of men to show honor, even though physically speaking, it may not be as heavy as that, you know, or you may also put it on a cart. That's why there was a time somebody, they went to put the ark of God on a new cart, and God was not happy, because the reason God wanted men to carry it is to show the weight of what they were carrying. All right. So the word honor signifies and show heaviness. It shows weight. So when we are talking about honor, we are talking about to place value on. To place value on. When we are talking about honor, we are talking about to make heavy. To make heavy. You see, God is already heavy, but there is a response. There is a posture that you can have that in your life it can be more heavy. What he was telling Eli was not that he necessarily needed Eli's honor by using his honor to survive. No, God by himself is self-existent. God does not need your honor. God does not need my honor to survive. He has enough honor in himself. He's the generator of honor by himself. But you see, when you now honor him in your eyes and with your life, you have made him worthy to you. So according to you, God is honorable. So though he is honorable in himself, in some people, God is dishonored. And in those kind of people, God cannot be said to be the father. Or in those kind of people, we cannot call them sons. So in the season of sons, heavy living would demand that you and I will understand that when it comes to honor, it means to put weight, to put, make heavy. What is honor? To honor is to have reverential fear. As relating to God, reverential fear for God. I know that we say in church, do not fear, and it's true. Fear is tormenting. Fear is not good, but it's not every fear that is bad. Fear God. Yes, it is reverence, but even the fear of this God is not my mate. You should have that. The way some of us deal with God, I know that grace, I know that redemption has made and has broken the divine and has brought us near. And we can cry, Abba Father. But excuse me, Abba Father does not mean it's you. And it's not your mate. The silence of God, because God seemingly sometimes is silent. Some people think his silence is weakness. In fact, the way some people read the Bible nowadays is like, in the olden days, in the Old Testament, God was like an angry God. But in the New Testament, he's just a Father Christmas. Excuse me. It's in the New Testament that Acts chapter 5 happened. I'm sure you know that. Some two people came late to church. And for some people that think some of us preach for long, go and read Acts chapter 5. Because Pastor Peter was preaching. Husband came. He lied to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gave him holy slap. And holy slap gave him holy sleep. Us no nice. And many hours later, the service was still on. And Pastor Peter was still preaching. Amen to Jesus. And then the other spouse came in. Welcome. The situation, did it happen the way you said? That's the way it happened. Why are you lying now? Another holy slap. Another holy sleep. Why? Did he honor God? And I will show you down the line what I'm talking about. So, honor is also fear. I fear God. He's not my mate. Yes, he's my loving father. But I fear God. There needs to be that reverential fear for God. And that's why the Bible says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know why? Anybody that fears God is already on the path of wisdom. Foolishness is to think God is just anyhow. You can just kick him, you know, just say anything, just, you know. And some of us, we don't say anything, but we just feel like it's not that serious. Fear God, though. You know, Jesus was telling them, Jesus said, don't fear the person that can kill you, that can kill the body. Fear the one that can kill and can make alive. Fear the one that can raise the dead and can kill the living. Fear that one. Or can make a living person dead and still be working as a living person. That's the person you should fear. So when we talk about God, when we relate to God, when we are thinking about God, excuse me, in everything you add to it, add fear to it, sir. Because a son honoreth his father. Where is my honor? The reason why there is no honor, so to say, is because there is no fear of God. And God is saying, let us return back to the days of I fear God. I know we will call it respect and call it whatever you want to call it, but still fear God, sir. Fear God. It is that kind of attitude that makes you not to do some stupid things. There is stupidity in everybody. The reason why everybody is not doing stupid things is something is bigger than us that is controlling us. Who told you that sometimes some of us don't feel like slapping some people? Stupidity is there. It's very, but we fear God. Even if nobody sees us, we know he's seeing us, so we fear him. Why is it that some of us cannot be looking at anything? Or when our spouse is not there, we now say, where is that lady? Go and be touching somebody inappropriately. Why are you not doing it? It's not because it's impossible. The hand is there, the same hand that some people are using to do the same thing. But when you look at the hand and you look up, I mean, whatever you call up, or you look inside because it's also here, I fear God. Why did Joseph not sleep with Potiphar's wife? Why did Joseph not sleep with Potiphar? You know that will have been the best immigration path. You know? President Pharaoh was already saying, every undocumented something. I will come and pay money to go back to your hometown. Would it not be a good thing for him to just say, excuse me, Mr. Potiphar, I fear God, but, you know, our situation is, and, you know, some of these things we have to just use wisdom. We will tell you, you know, it's just a wisdom issue. God will not be offended. And even if he's offended, he will forgive me. But you see, there is a fear of God that constrains us. We know he's a forgiving God, but we know he's a consuming fire. This attitude of I will do it and I will ask for forgiveness is lack of fear. Who told you you will make it to the other side of asking for forgiveness? You know, sometimes we do gamble. There's a lot of gambling. Who told you are going to make it to the other side of forgiveness? And so this morning, God is saying to you and me, if I am your father, where is my honor? And how will that honor show up? I fear God. Reverential fear for God. Oh, it's not the fear that makes you run away. It's the fear that makes you run to him. And know that we cannot hide from God. You know, some people, they deceive themselves to think they are deceiving God. I mean, like, you know he knows, and you are lying to yourself in presence of God. Fear God, sir. Fear God. If we ask you, why didn't you do this? You will now tell us something, and you know God is hearing all of us. Fear God. Fear God. Why is it that the reason you gave looks like part of the things that happened, but that was not the reason why you really did what you did. That what you said was not a lie, but that was not the reason why you did what you did. The real reason, you hid it from us. But you can't hide it from him. The fear of God. If you want to look at how conformed to sonship a man is, look at how conformed and how submitted to the fear of God that man is. It's not how husky his voice is. Because you can be very husky, you know. Husky voices, like, you come to look like I've prayed 10 hours. And by the way, if you don't pray 10 hours, I don't know why you're not praying 10 hours. Can somebody say amen? Ask your neighbor, say, where were you yesterday? Don't be careful how you answer. All right? So it's not about the huskiness of the voice. It's your relationship born out of reverential fear of God. What is honor? Honor is to respect. Honor is to place value on. Honor is to make heavy. Honor is to have reverential fear. And this is probably the one I like the most. Honor is to highly esteem. What God told Eli was that you have lightly esteemed me. He didn't just say you dishonored me. He said you have lightly esteemed me. You know what I have found out? That men, we are always making estimations. There is an estimate that you are making about your actions. There's an estimate. And by that estimate, you are comparing things. You are comparing God to something. And that is why God, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said you can't serve two masters. It's either you love one and you hate the other. He's saying that there is an estimation going on all the time. And I can know if you honor God if I see what you choose instead of God. And the devil is always bringing options. He's going to bring the option of stay at home instead of go to church and say that it is because of work or because of something. But yeah, the reason you have given is right. And it's not wrong to watch from home if you are watching from home. But you see, there is an estimation of God that makes some excuses not necessary. There is a place that God will stand. There is an estimation. There is a value that God can have that some things will not necessarily be part of your dictionary again. Some things will not be what you will do again. Some things will not be what you will be open to again. Why? Because the place that is standing is a very high place. I have spoken to some people before. And I'll say, and I want you to come and do this thing for me. And you say, I'm very busy. Then the person will now come and say, you are not like that kind of person in my hands. You know, in Africa, one language, you say, you are heavy in my hands. So that means the estimation you have is very high estimation. What I'm saying this morning to you is this. For heavy living, God has to have a very high estimation. It's what Jesus was trying to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first. The problem is not seeking. Many people are seeking, but not first. Many people are having activity, but not first. The reason what God is looking for is first. The position matters. If it's not the first, the rest does not matter. If it's the first, he now can instruct the rest. He wants to always be the first. It's a positional issue. He understands that if he's at the first, your estimation is at the top. So one of our sisters the other day was preaching here and told us that actually, the word priority means you choose one. Really, you know, she kind of, I'm paraphrasing what she said. Like, when it comes to priority, it's not just a list of many things. It's like you have chosen one. One is like, once it takes the lion's share, every other thing will now take what is remaining. That is where God wants to be. If you want to manifest fully as sons, God wants to take a place that is not at the back, is at the forefront, is at the top. And if you give God that kind of place, you will not miss your place. Some people are in this room, you have been saying, God, where are you? God is saying, look, it is where you have placed me that is not showing me that you are not being able to see me well. It is because you have added me to every other thing. You are using me as your convenience. When I can fit into what you are doing, yes. When I can be added to every other thing. You have your own plans and you just add me as an addendum so that you will cure your guilty conscience. And God said, that is not enough. You can be a child of God as that, but as sons, you have to do better. An estimation. What is your estimation of God? Just before you quickly answer, look at what you are choosing over him. Sometimes when you pick up your phone, and your phone does summary for you. Like every Sunday, my phone does summary for me. It's almost as if when I enter the car and I'm about to come to church, the first thing I see, after we say prayer inside the car, I just see the estimation. You spend 12 hours every day on the phone. And you just show me, these are the apps that are the culprits. And I'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 apps. How many days? The Bible is not in those 5 apps. Someone said, can I always be reading the Bible? No, you can't always be reading. But can you always be on Facebook? So why is it making number 5? Or number 1? Can you always be on TikTok? No. I'm just using the catch up. I know you are using it. Why is the Bible not also one of it? Oh, do you know the way I read my Bible? I just read in a concerted place. You know, Facebook, I just scroll through. You can scroll through the Bible too. You can just scroll through it during the day. Just scroll through it and read one of the scriptures. You know, just one verse per hour. You can do that too, and it will count towards that. But you see, what God is saying to you and I this morning is this. For heavy living, there needs to be an estimation that God is bigger than everything. Sometimes I hear statements like this, and it's from a good place. Family is everything. And it's true. I mean, family, God is a genius. God is a genius. That the unit of life, the unit of the organization of human interaction, he put it as family. If he puts it as government, you know, some of us, we don't have a family again now. Hello? Why are you looking at me like that? Some of us, we don't have it because this particular government, we are not in our family. We just feel like this is not our family. So you have lost family just like that, just because of an election. He didn't put it at that far place. He put it at a nuclear level, at a level of few people. And I know some people are saying, government is better than my family. I would rather choose Trump over some member of my family. I know there are many interesting things, but ordinarily speaking, most times, somehow, family is good, right? You know, at least somehow. Even with sibling rivalries, we still like our brother. We still like our sister. Even though when we see, we argue for half of the time that we've seen. And we'll be fighting ourselves. It's when we don't now see ourselves. Now say, where is she? Where is he? We like our absence more than our presence. It's family dynamics. I know how it works. You know sometimes when I see my children, this morning my daughter was saying, they're fighting again. I say, well, welcome to family. That's how it works. And it's just this loud. Hey, you shouldn't touch my this. You didn't know. You know all of that. But you see, after that, they are fighting again. If the other person goes and plays soccer, or the other person is not around for a few minutes, you now say, when is the other person coming back? That's family for you. So it's the beauty of God. Family is a beautiful thing, but family is not everything. Do you know that family ends in this time? Family is not eternal. Hello. Like I tell my wife, I said, that's why I have to be your husband very well in this world, though, because this is my last chance. So, because I won't go and be husband in heaven. No. Because some people are thinking, I'll go and continue what I didn't finish yet. Better finish it now. That's why you should join the marriage program today, so that you can know how to use yourself very well. Can somebody say amen? Because we are not going to make it out of this world. We can't carry our marriage with us. So if this thing has expiry date, I have to finish this thing well. I have to use it when I show up before God and say, there's no more marriage here. I say, don't worry, I finished. I concluded what I needed to conclude. I finished it. Now, I am saying all of this to say that marriage, family, they are very good, but they are not the everything. God has to be everything, so that everything else will make sense. If God is not at the top, any other position you put him, he will not function best there. And this morning, he's asking you, he's asking me that we return to this kind of living. The living, the kind of living our life where God is primary is main. In many schools, you have to major in something and then you minor in other things. I'm saying this morning to you that if you want to really honor God, you have to major in God. You have to major in God. That is why you major in reading the word of God. That is why you major in prayer. Why do we do things like 10 hours? It's because we want to show God that we can give him what we give our boss every 5 days of the week. Most of you in this room, you give your boss minimum 8 hours, 5 days of the week. And then we'll not do 10 hours once a month. Some people say, it's too much. What's much about it? If you are going to go to heaven and be with God for eternity, what is 10 hours? When a day with God, 1,000 years is like one day. 10 hours is not up to a second. So we are just calling you to come and have a second with your God. And they are making some people make tantrum and say, why do we have to? Is God schizophrenic? Does he need all the 10 hours? Can we not pray in 10 minutes? Can we not pray in 10 seconds? You can. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. It's okay. Don't fight. Some of us have just made God primary. We have made God primary. Like somebody said, when God is all you have, you will find out that God is all you need. And sometimes God pushes some of us into that place. That's why sometimes some problem pushes some of us to that place. That every other option we fail, so that you will now have God as your only option. And it's then you now know that God is more than enough. He's the only option. This morning, God is saying to you and me, Where is my honor? My honor is in when you estimate, you have a high estimation of me. And real quick, because of time, let me show you areas where you can honor God. Areas where your estimation of God should be better. Because of time, I can't go to every area. But let me just mention maybe three. And God will expand the others in you. One of the areas where you can honor God, estimate Him very highly, is in your relationships. Your relationships. Your relationships with people. When you deal well with people, when you honor people, you are honoring God. The Bible speaking in Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 12 verse 10. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate, affection to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. How does honor show up in relationship? You prefer one another. You allow the other person. You defer to the other person. You prefer them. You celebrate them. You are kind to them. You are considerate of them. You think that they are also there. You understand that it's not only about you. You don't just deal with them how you feel in the moment. You don't let temporary situations make you say permanent things to these people. Use words in a way that will kill them. Let me tell you the truth. There are many people that we have relationships with that are killing us every day with their words. Killing people with words. Because the person is your departmental head and because we are volunteers, you now think you need to talk to them anyhow. Or because you are the departmental head and they are working with you, you think you have to talk to them anyhow. We are working for God. Excuse me, yes, we are working for God. But the God we are working for is a loving God and a tender loving God. Treat us tenderly. Can somebody say amen? When you have estimated God very highly, you estimate people very highly too. You will take people as big deal. People are big deal. Do you know that on earth, the greatest resource on this earth is, you know, people are talking about AI would do this to human beings. Who is the person that made AI? Is it not humans? The king of this earth, the epitome, the biggest resource on earth is still man. You know, there's all this debate about our president and our jet and all that kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of noise. And let me not, I'm not on any side. I'm on the side of God. But why will a nation say we will give one man something? Why? Because men are the treasures of God here on earth. So take people as big deal. Your wife is a big deal. The fact that you have been married to her 20 years and you have seen everything, you think so, and you talk to her like trash. You talk to him like trash. You say, no, that's how we talk to ourselves. We just gist with ourselves like that. You know, say, your head is not good. Your head is like your father's head. You know, she knows I don't mean it. Excuse me. Don't talk like that. No. I tell my children, you look like your mother, you forget things like your... Honor all men. They are older than you, honor them. They are younger than you, honor them. You are richer than them, honor them. They don't have as much as you, honor them. They have more than you have, honor them. Honor all men. There are some people, they can honor people that are higher than them. They can't honor people that are lower than them. You are low. You are small. You see, there are complexes. There's inferiority complex where you are thinking you are small. There is superiority complex. Both of them are still complex, and I think both of them are still inferior. There is, if you think you are bigger than everybody, you are not bigger than everybody, sir. You are not. You come into the church, the usher says, you should sit down. You say, do you know who I am? We don't know who you are. We don't need to know who you are. We know who we are in Christ. We know who we are in Christ. So what is who you are? If you know who you are, who I am, I don't need to know, sir. Just sit down here. Don't sit down anywhere. Sit down here. No, this is my seat. I brought it from home. Excuse me.
Okay, carry it when you are leaving. Just it. You don't know why. We don't need to know. We don't need to know. Jesus paid the same blood. This is the same blood that bought all of us. I am not a cheaper version from redemption. So treat me like I was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, pastor, treat church members well. Church members, you to treat pastor well. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. They told me to speak for them. It's not me. I'm speaking for a friend. Some people say, if you, what are the areas that you will show honor to God? Your relationships. There is no relationship that you cannot put honor to. Even bad relationships. Your boss is dishonorable. Still honor him. In fact, let me say this to you. The relationships that you should put honor more are the ones that seemingly somebody is dishonoring you. Because it's a temptation from the devil for you to sow seed of dishonor so that you have a harvest of dishonor. If you don't have a seed of dishonor, you don't have a harvest of dishonor. There are sometimes you find yourself in places and you say, this thing is not good. But I won't sow the seed I'm supposed to sow. I will sow another seed. That's what David did. You know, sometimes you ask, why did David's kingdom, why was it different from the kingdom of Saul? David did not have a dishonor seed in the ground. Well, Saul was busy dishonoring David up and down. He didn't know that that's how he was tearing down his kingdom and he was going to be a one-term president. No other person will come from his lineage to come and be president again. But while David was busy honoring Saul, even when Saul was dishonorable, there was a time he had opportunity to kill Saul. He said, how can I touch the anointed of God and be guiltless? Let me tell you, even when somebody you know is not doing what they are supposed to do, you do what you are supposed to do. When God tells you to obey something, your obedience is individual. It's not a response to somebody's disobedience. If your parents are dishonorable, you be honorable, sir. Some people tell me that, you know, the Bible says, you know, honor our father and mother, but my father is not honorable. But the position of a father is honorable. The person sitting in that position will be a dishonorable man. But the position is honorable. You do your job. You do your own. My mother was not there for me. You be there for her as a son. She will get her own reward as mother. You will get your own reward as son. You will not get your own reward as the son of somebody that was not responsible. And I'm not endorsing abuse and misuse and all of that kind of thing. I'm saying within limits, within boundary, at least start in your heart and honor them in your heart. Start to pray for them. Start to be kind to them. Start to show up in a way that at least you can show up so that they will experience this honor that comes from God. How can I honor God? I honor God with my time. Hear me, time is life. I honor God with my time. If I look at your calendar and I see what you give God, I can tell you where God stands with you. When I became a Christian, one of the things they used to tell us is, fight your days. I know that practically it may not be possible for many people, but what about tight your month? That's why we are doing things like 10-hour prayers now. We are trying to say, God, we want to honor you with our time. There is no relationship that works well, especially with God, that you will not put time into. One of the love languages of God, I'm sure you know God also have a love language, is quality time. Yesterday I was talking about the rivers of God. Why is it that many people, it's one river that is flowing? The reason is not because there's no rivers. The reason is because they've not cultivated the rivers to flow. They've not spent time. The more we spend time, the more we discover. It's like onion. The more we stay in the presence of God, one layer will be peeled. Another layer will be peeled. Another layer will be peeled. So staying in the presence of God is advantageous. That's why the psalmist says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. What areas can you honor God? Your relationships. What areas can you honor God? Your finance. Your time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, the Bible says, be wise in the use of your time. Redeem the time. Buy back the time. How do you buy back the time? You use the time in a way that time will have eternal value. Use your time for eternal valuable things. That's how you redeem the time. You can't take the time as that has been lost, but there is something you can do with now that can have eternal value. One of the things you can do with time is to bring other people to God. What we start doing from this month, from June, that we are going to be doing prayer work, don't excuse yourself from it. Some people are going to excuse themselves, you know, after service. Excuse, why now? It's once a month. It may even be once in the whole summer, because they say it's two tribes. How many more weeks do we have in summer? So that means if you do this month, you won't do next month. Make time for that. Do something with your time that will bring back that time to you. If you put somebody in the kingdom of God with your time, you have redeemed that time. You didn't waste it. You have invested it. Because the best way some people know how to use time is to use it, is to waste it, is to expend it. And some people say, I while away time. You are wasting life. You should invest it. Invest it in something that is eternal. That's why it is good to come to church and come and don't be in a hurry. Even though once in a while, Pastor, he will speak too long, but don't be in a hurry. I'm almost done. Areas where you can honor God with your relationships, with your time, with your finances. You know, usually, especially, I think since COVID, there's been this toxic environment when people hear about finance in church. They just get very edgy. And I'm like, hey, finance is part of your life now. When we sing songs like the song we sang today, my life, my all, it all belongs to you. Some people's version is, minus my money. Everything belongs to you, minus finance. Ah, Lord, take everything, but not finance. You know, today, I think God was just cracking me up. I was like, sometimes, if God comes to some people, or if like thief comes to some people, and say, give God your life or your finances. Some people say, no, I'll give God my life, not my finance. Because I need my finance to make sure that life I give it to him very well. You get it later. No, I'm just saying that some people even value finance more than their lives. That's what I'm trying to say. But breath is even more than money now. The people that had it yesterday, where are they? Where are they? Some people walk. And even that walk, God cannot see anything from it. You say, I don't want to give it to the church. It's not, when people say we should give God, but we are giving church now. How are we giving God? Many things you give God. How do you give God? Is it not true, people, most times? Even when you worship God, I know that, well, you know, you worship and maybe God will come and take that worship. But most times, people will even hear you. People will hear you doing the worship. And sometimes, some of us will even help you to worship God. So, somehow, everything you will give God, everything you will do with God, you will have to, somewhere along the line, on this earth, pass through people. But let me say this to you. You and I, if God, we have estimated him to be very high, we will see him in our finances. There are too many people, they are excusing their finance from their honor of God. When the Bible speaks in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the way it started that scripture was this. Honor, let's go there as I finish now. Proverbs chapter 3. The way it started this was verse 9. Honor the Lord. Just if you stop there. Honor the Lord. Everything that is talking about is just to honor the Lord. With your possessions. Because in the first place, he gave it to you. You know, sometimes I'm going home and, you know, I think fathers are guilty of this. I just break the rule. I go and go to a restaurant and I buy something for my children. And, you know, and I get home and they say, you have messed up the menu for today. Thank you very much. I'm glad to do that. At least I have to score this Father Christmas. I have to tick that checkbox that I'm a Father Christmas. So I come, I do that. And then the children are eating. And then I'm walking past,
And then I want to pick one of maybe like chicken wings. I want to take one of the, you know, drumsticks or something like that. And then somebody is now, I'm like, excuse me, there's a food that you were able to eat today. I broke the rule. I bought the food. You know that I was, even if I didn't break the rule, even the one that you were going to eat on a regular, it's not my money. It's not my house. This is my house. You know, sometimes some people do like, excuse me, the person that is paying the bill in this house, is you know this house. This is our house. This is our house, so by commonwealth and kindness. But it's my house, me and my wife, by responsibility. Okay, even if I didn't do that extra, it's still my house now. You are eating my food. You should give me everything. You say, how much? Do you want me to go and buy more for you? That's what you should do. But you are now saying, but you don't, that's how some of us behave. You know why I would just walk away? Because I would say, it's a child. That's how God is saying to some of you, it's a child. We can't put big deals in their hand yet. Why? The one we gave them, it's like, so what are we giving you now? Is it 10%? Is it kidding? Excuse me. If God has a position and his estimate is very high, you won't be a percentage man. No. The reason we are having this percentage problem is because of where you put him on. If you put him very high, there are sometimes I do things for my wife. I just do it. It's not percentage. The money is commonwealth anyways before. But I will still go and do something and I will spend some amount. I don't care about it because where she is very, very high. She owns everything anyways. So it's not a big deal. So when God is saying, honor the Lord with your possession, he's saying, let God just have his say. And you will now find out that God does not want to use you. He wants an excuse to bless you. That's it. He doesn't want to use you. Is an excuse. What happened between Jacob and Isaac and Esau? You know that whole experience. Isaac said, please go and get me food and I will bless you. Whose food did Isaac eventually eat? If Bible people, who owned the food that Isaac ate? His own food. It was eventually his own food, and the blessing still flowed because he ate food that was his own food that somebody tricked him. As you know, but the blessing flow. The lesson in that is this: when God is saying, give me, it's his own thing, he's just looking for an excuse to bless you. He's just looking for an excuse to bless. That's why I say it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm not going to be the one to receive offering, so this is not about offering. It is just about honor. Because this is another area where you can honor God. You can honor God with your time, you can honor God with your relationships, you can honor God with your finances. And some of you need to begin to ask God, how have I dishonored you with my time? How have I dishonored you with my finances? There are sometimes to honor God with your finances, he's saying, don't spend that money yet. I had some money not too long ago, and I felt that money was not my money. And I kept it. I put it like in a shelf. I was seeing it physical like that. And when God told me to do something with the money, and it wasn't to him like I gave it to church. It was to give somebody. I understood why he said, keep it there. Why? I am honoring God with my possession. It is not mine. It is his own. I want him to be able to come back and say, excuse me, what I gave you yesterday, can you give it to this person? What I gave you, the resources I gave you, the reason why I sent you to America, can you do this? But some of us, the one that belongs to God and our own, we have eaten everything. And we're not doing like some of my children. Sometimes they get angry at me at using them. But we are doing like children. Maybe not mine. Children. What he gave you, we are now doing like this. It is time to honor God. Because as a son to the Father, where is my honor? Estimate me as being very, very high. And honor me. Show honor with your time, with your finance. And let me just drop this. With you, with your life, with your body. It's my life. It's my life. It's a lie. The person that takes the life when you die owns the life. If you can't stop death on the real day of death, there is not your life. We borrowed you. Estimate him highly. Estimate him highly. It's my life. I can do what I can do. I want to do. Nebuchadnezzar sat down some days ago. And they gave him an excursion in zoology. And said, this one, you'll be in the lab. You know what them in show class. You'll be in the lab. You'll join them.